Hello, how's it going? And did I spell it right?
Yes, you did.
Cool, amazing. Nice to
I'm
have you
doing
here.
good.
Please let people know about you a little bit because I think you're the best to present yourself.
Okay, so my name is Ana. I'm a VFX artist from Brazil. I am just starting my career. Actually, I come from a different field, so I decided to shift to VFX in my 30s. So that's where I'm at the moment. I'm currently working on my first game. Like, I'm working for a game company at the moment as a contractor.
Cool.
So I'm really happy to look like things are working out.
That's awesome. So you mentioned you're a VFX artist, so and games, so that's probably real time VFX artist, right?
Yeah.
And you mentioned also that you transitioned just recently, right?
Yes.
How was
Yes.
that?
Yeah, it was hard. I can't lie. It was a different area of expertise in every sense. I used to publish books and I didn't know a lot about animation or illustration or anything. It was just like, I know Portuguese and I know some English. So it was easier because I knew English, because all the content that I needed to learn from VFX is pretty much in English. So it was a lot at the
But
beginning.
what drew you to
I
visual
studied.
effects? Did you do something similar before?
When I was 18, I did a 2D animation course. It was before college and everything, but I kind of switched to my major. But my husband is actually a VFX artist as well,
Cool.
and he helped me a lot. I was like, I really enjoy games. We do it every weekend. Like, it's
Awesome.
the fun thing that we do. And we're like, maybe you have potential. And he was like cheering me on. And I
Awesome.
was like, okay, I'll give it a try.
Wow, I've never heard the story
But
where like the mentor was the husband. That's so cool.
yeah. Yeah, it's different. But he kind of sold me like, don't worry, you're gonna do it fine. But then second page, I was like 8 hours a day for a year studying, and he always helps me a lot, but I have to put on the work because I didn't know anything, like how to draw, how to use 3D software or Unity or Unreal. That's it.
Yeah, so it's you need a lot of skills in many different aspects of like art, and you need also like you need to know a bit about animations, like you mentioned in the beginning. I feel like me and you have a similar background in that we started animations, but like I personally did not like to do character animation much, but I kind of liked to tweak animations and like create them. I don't know if that was something for you too.
Yeah, we at the course we would do like the objective was to create a video clip for a Brazilian indie band, and we were like drawing and using Toon Boom and doing things like whatever comes to mind. It was like a group of 40 students and one teacher, and he put everything together. And it was very cool because I didn't know how to draw. So I was like, I did a lion that had wings, but the proportions were like a monkey. And it became a little psychedelic, but it was really fun.
Okay, so you have also background in drawing, right?
Just a little bit. I don't even like to say that I do because I still have a lot to learn.
I mean, that's the curse of artists, right? We are never satisfied with our work, and if we were, we would just use AI. That's my perspective, you know. I think people who really want to improve, they are never satisfied. People who, you know, I compare it to soccer, football. it's huge in Brazil anyway. I feel like some people, they grew up, liking football and liking that feeling of scoring goals, but they never really wanted to play football. You know what I mean? They never really wanted the teammate stuff. So that's how I view AI a little bit. I'm like, oh, so you really just want to score the goals and you want someone else to do it for you? Oh, that's great. Thanks for letting me know who you are, and it's mostly right now the scarcity is that the CEOs or the people in charge of management would encourage using it. It's a huge loss because we will be just consuming content that is, without feelings. I feel like it's just following whatever the programmer had given it the fundamentals. But we artists, we first learn the fundamentals, right? We try to get good at the fundamentals, but then we break the fundamentals. That's what we do. We break the fundamentals when it's accurately to do so, when the feeling requires us to do so in a scene, in an effect, for example. Like one of the major fundamentals with effects is like contrast, right? If you were a machine and you knew all of those, tricks and fundamentals, you would never break them. But we do. We know how where to break them and why to break them. And I think that's what separates an artist from a person who just wants the bare minimum out of, like, just gets the what's on the surface, like visual effects on the surface. What's visual effects on the surface? What's stylized art on the surface? What is anime art on the surface? That's what we saw with the Ghibli trend. It's mostly people who are not artists that are using it because they're like, oh my God, this is so cool. And we artists, we're like, oh my God, there's four fingers.
No.
Yikes.
when that trend appeared on Twitter or Instagram, I was like, Oh, interesting. The first time that I see, but then like 40 posts with the same aesthetic. And I was like, okay, I'm already tired of this because this is not Ghibli.
Yeah.
This is not.
It's not anything.
An homage.
It's not even life. It's an insult to life. I remember tweeting like, I would block anybody who's like sharing this and normalizing it because it's just like, why are we normalizing this? Who is behind this? Why are we pushed to normalize this? Why are we pushed to put our photos and switch them? And it's like, well, if the public, like if all humans start to like not, let's say like non-artists, most of people are non-artists, right? They don't know, if something is AI generated or not. So when they get this level of quality, the bar of quality from like, I don't know, Disney animations or Ghibli animations, like lower it down to AI animations, like who's gonna actually see the difference? That is dangerous for me. Because like once you lower the bar, that becomes like the maximum, you can maximize your profits as like a management a person or shares or whatever, shareholders or whatever they call them. Anyway, enough of that. About the business and the AI stuff. We always talk about that stuff anyway. So tell me about your human perspective of like switching and how challenging was it to just like land a job for you?
I think I got pretty lucky actually. I mentioned that, for example, every time that I'm working on a portfolio piece, I'm like working until I grow tired of it.
Yeah.
And I look at the end result and I'm like, oh, I hate it. I'm not going to post it. So I get like the worst criticisms for myself. So I try to post what I feel like it's portfolio worth. And I don't have a lot of stuff, but what I do have kind of caught the attention. So these VFX position that I'm actually in right now, a art director reached me on LinkedIn and she said, I like your work, how about you start doing VFX for us?
Wow,
and I
was awesome.
Like, that's so cool, I'll do it,
thank you so much.
Yeah.
Now that's great, like to just, that's that's again like something we have to talk about more, like as a real-time visual effects artist, and that's like post your work, present it.
Yes.
Right. Oh, so how do you go through like presenting something? Go ahead.
Yeah, just try to do it the best way you can. Like not only the video, but also the thumbnail. Breakdowns are always cool to have also, and explain how you created that, what you were thinking. I believe that a lot of people think that's so good. Like, oh, you know what you're doing. I see the intention. And I know that you know how to create things. So when I try to post something on my ArtStation, I'm like, okay, the video is ready today, but the post will be ready only tomorrow because I need to make a good thumbnail that's like catchy and a good angle, and try to write everything the best way that I can in English without sounding too plastic, like genuine for my explain what I do.
Yeah.
And not use like catchphrases or anything that everybody does it, you know?
Mm-mm-mm. Put some personality in there, basically.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow, that's awesome. I mean, it's such a good advice because most of people are like, at least me. I'll speak for myself. And that is, whenever I'm done with something, I want to show it, and I want to show it ASAP. And I don't even give myself like this limit that you said. Like, wait for a day, you know, get the structure of the text out, get a thumbnail going, right? Because I think the thumbnails that you use for ArtStation are amazing. You get like you really make sure you get the best shot out of that, right?
The last piece that I posted, I was a bit lazy, so I didn't do anything that I just said. But it's what I usually do and what I plan to do again for the next piece that I'm working on.
Yeah.
Because I believe the reception is a lot better and you feel like you've done a good work when you post something. And it's like you took care of that. That's your baby, so make it presentable.
Yeah, I mean, how much do you put into each piece? Let's talk about that.
Well, I usually spend less time, like when there's a time frame for like a challenge, for example. So I try to stay on that time frame and not lose the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, I have one that I participated for the real-time VFX forum,
mm-hmm.
and it took 3 weeks or a month. So this was a lot of time, but it was at the beginning, and I think that it turned out to be a really good piece for my portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, if I don't establish, like, I'm going to finish in 3 weeks,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to do it for 2 months. And that's terrible. So I'm trying to be more organized with my timelines. Like, I'm going to take 1 month to do this. And I'm going to work every day for this month. And then I'm going to rest and start again.
Wow. You really plan through, huh? I think
if I don't do it,
yeah,
I'm too lazy. So you have to plan it.
But how do you encounter like motivational problems,
like
or challenges?
For example, I actually like to trick my mind, because if I do something that it's just for me, I'm like, I'll do it tomorrow.
Mm.
It's fine.
Yes.
So I like to think that it's not just for me. It's for an imaginary mentor.
Okay.
Who is not my husband. And it's like, he told me I have 1 month to finish this. So I'm going to have to work hard for this. Yeah. It's like I try to create timelines, and then I write down in my notebook what I have to do. Like, I have to post-process, create the meshes, create the textures, and then this is the step by step, so I don't get lost. So I spend like a week planning, and then 3 weeks actually doing it. So it's a little, you don't miss, like you don't get lost in the middle of the process. This is something that it took me a while to figure out, like this works for me. Because if I just do it and I feel the vibe, I'm gonna take 6 months to do a VFX and post on my portfolio.
Absolutely. I think you're try or you do like actively do how to say you simulate or you emulate a work environment, right?
Yes.
And that is very important for learning because usually you're first of all, you're alone. So there is really no deadline. So it's really good if you could trick yourself. Most people are like, maybe, or me, I'll again talk about myself. I'm too self-cautious to be able to like trick myself. I have to trick myself with some consequences. So for example, one of the ways that I tricked myself is that I started streaming my learning process. So, like you said, there's this imaginary person, which is the viewer in that sense, or the people who were following my journey in learning. I have to stream today because they're watching or they want to watch. And I also t took all this process and I put it into YouTube videos. So even for the people on YouTube, they're watching, and there was like 1,000 views on the first day. So I'm like, I'm committed, right? I have to commit for those 1,000 people, or for the 700 of them, whatever it is, right? This is my journey. I need to document it, and there's no, it is part of the content to fail. So without this trick, like you said, I was not even able to start because I was like, why am I doing it? Like, what am I doing it for? And that sucks most of the times because it's like why does it have to have like a why do you have to why do you need an external validation, right? In that way for you to start. And it's sure enough, like it's a problem that I have to like face and see like how can I do it. So that's why I like to talk to people like you who are doing it without the stream because like honestly, streaming is exhausting. Like, and I need to be able to build projects without streaming too. And so I like to hear those stories, and I like to hear stories about like that's why I have pe different skilled people on the podcast from different like nationalities, from different backgrounds, because I want to talk to people who had gone through different phases of the process. Like we all want to be that perfect visual effects artist, but we never hear the stories about people who are trying to make it or just got started making it. And so I feel like that is as important, just so people understand from the outside in what does it take to like land a job, like you said. And I'm glad we talked about it because it was as easy as like just post your work and make sure you're taking your time with your post and the post quality. Yeah, I kind of like have more hope when I give me a second. I have more hope when like I hear those stories because it's like, yeah, luck exists in a way. Like, of course, when we say I got lucky, as in like no one else is gonna have the same luck, and it's like, well, luck is sometimes just the opportunity matching the preparation, right?
Yes, absolutely. And it's nice to hear something like the experience of somebody who is like on the same learning stage as you, because I used to watch a lot of content of these really awesome artists, and I'm like, oh, 10 years from the future for me, but what am I gonna do tomorrow? So when you have like a community of students, you've kind of help each other out, and you go figure out, oh, so tomorrow I need to learn how to dissolve in shader, and next week I'm gonna learn how to use timelines, for example.
Yeah.
So it's like something more paced.
Yeah, exactly. And where do you go to for students with the same experience? What is your go-to Discord server or community that you like to share your progress in?
Well, I started learning. Discord communities are amazing,
Hmm.
and everybody's like, you ask a question, and 10 minutes later, you have like three answers, different answers from a lot of people. So this is so cool. And you just have to kind of put yourself out there and start asking questions, because there are not stupid questions. You're like, oh, how do I use Bloom on my scene? And people already answered that a lot, but people are always willing to help. So I love Discord communities like this. And I use a lot the VFX Apprentice, the Discord community from Beyond, and also many others like yours, the generalists. And I try also to subscribe to newsletters and check out forums. And YouTube is also my first go-to when I'm like,
Of
how
course.
do I use depth fade in a reel? And just check, and there are so many videos and communities. The content is there. It's just you have to start searching so you can find it.
I guess most people are just so, or again, I will talk about myself. I get very well overwhelmed by how many things that I have to learn. Like when you make a slash visual effect, that's not the same like making an area of effect visual effect. It's also not the same as like making an effect like a poisoned effect, for example, when the character is poisoned. So it's an effect that keeps on reproducing again and over again. And I get overwhelmed. Like, what am I supposed to start with? Like, even with the Discord server, I also get very overwhelmed. I'm not a person that, or I wish I was, or someone I look up to be is that person. Like you said, go on the Discord, ask questions. I don't know why I never have done that. I don't know why. But like, all the great people I've met and like they've learned this way. They just met people on Discord, and they've asked the questions. Like you mentioned, how do I make a dissolve shader? And sure enough, you know, you get a YouTube tutorial link, and that helps you out most of the times. I don't know. Like I feel the urge now most of the times is, should I ask ChatGPT about how this is done? But then I ask myself, why should I ask ChatGPT if I could just ask a real human? And I don't know, maybe it's a generational thing, because I feel like, you know, the generation before us was able to like call someone. Like for example, if they were driving to Italy and the weather was going bad on a vacation, they would ask someone who was in Italy, or they knew, or who knew someone who was in Italy. That was the AI back in the day. He just knew people, kind of, you know, and you just called them. And right now, before you call, you have to schedule it or something. It's weird.
Yeah, it's so weird. But I would say I tried asking ChatGPT, like, oh, where's the menu for Blender? And he was like, it's over there. And I was like, it's not here. And he's like, oh, you're right. It's not. It's somewhere else.
That's what
And
a lot of people don't
sometimes,
understand. Like, ChatGPT will answer. That's the problem. It will answer. You know, if it doesn't know, it will still answer. It's just trying to guess the next word. That's how it works.
And if you don't know what you're actually looking, sometimes you get the wrong answer, but you don't know that it's wrong. So I feel like Discord communities are more reliable in that sense.
Yeah, I agree. I think I'm more prone to the idea of like joining now to, joining those Discord servers and like actually joining with like activity and questions and things like that. Simply because like I've seen what ChatGPT can be helpful with, but I've also seen how it's really not helpful at all. And like you said, it's a real reliability issue, and it's like, maybe I should just ask a human who is already working in the industry or already had worked on a similar effect. And that's the beauty of it. Like, why are we afraid to add someone as a friend? Like, ask them in the DM, maybe. If you're too shy to ask people in the, I guess I should do that too. Like, I think I'm better like on one-on-one type of communication. I cannot fathom the group chat. Like, I'm in my private life, I have no group chat. I can't operate under a group chat. I don't know why.
Yeah, it's like sometimes you feel like if you message a group chat, you're gonna be the center of attention. But I try to think that, well, I'm learning and I'm trying to get knowledge from these people, and 5 minutes later, somebody else is gonna message, and then the attention is gonna come from me to another person. So I know that it's hard, especially for people who are more introvert. But sometimes we just gotta put ourselves out there and give it a shot, you know?
Yeah, that's like you're also not annoying anybody. If
Yeah,
you're not
if you
forcing
are,
anyone to
they
listen
won't
to you.
answer.
Yeah, no one is forced to answer to you either. I guess for me it's like before when I want to solve a problem, like my first thing is I'm gonna Google it, like, and then once I'm stuck, I will ask. But most of the times, I find myself Googling, Googling, Googling. It's like 3 hours, and I should have just like posted it on some Discord or something. I feel like we all have to encourage ourselves, and I'm glad that you're given that, talking about that, the importance of that, because that's something I've heard in the beginning when I started with 3D. Or with like effects or whatever. And I just never believed in it. I was like, nah, I don't know. Like, why do I have to ask people? That's what courses are for. And it's like, yeah, but you can only learn so much. Something, most of the times you actually are confused about things.
Yeah, and maybe probably the question you want the answer has already been asked. So you can like search in the history of the chat if you don't want to message people again. Like there are so many things that it's so rich in of information. So even if you're kind of like I'm not gonna message anybody, I'm gonna search, it's gonna be like 10 minutes of search. So either way, it's fun.
Absolutely, and it's a good point that maybe it got asked before. Like, I think most people think, or me at least, I will speak for myself, is that I think that I'm the only one with the problem, and it's not always the thing. Like, but yeah, anyway. So yeah, Discord was a huge booster for your learning experience, right? When did you start exactly with visual effects? Real time? Like months, years?
I decided to do the career shift in April 23, right after I finished my doctoral degrees in literature. So
That's a good
I was
timing.
like, okay, now it's a good moment to change. So I started studying in April 23, and I got my first freelance work in February 24.
Wow.
And
That's awesome.
yeah, somebody reached me on Upwork because of ArtStation also.
Cool.
So it's fun. Like I know that I'm really lucky that two people reached me for work, and now I'm like actively looking. It's different, but it's also an experience. And I believe that sometimes you gotta put yourself out there, if especially if you're a junior, like work on your portfolio and send messages and try to connect to everybody and start learning. Because even if you message somebody on Discord, sometimes that person is looking for a junior artist and they're like, oh, I know this person. So it could be like a good opportunity as well. I
So
believe
how do you
that's
reach the
what
people?
happened to
Like,
me.
what do you say to them? What how do you like how do you do it?
When people reach me.
Now, when you reach the people, you said,
Oh,
yeah.
I. At first, I was really like, I took an hour to write the message. I was like, okay, the English is correct. The images, the print screen, the shots, screenshots are working. So let me write this. And then I finally posted, like, I'm working on this shader, on this VFX.
Okay.
It's the one of the first was like a slash VFX actually. And I had trouble with my mesh because the normals were inverted. And I didn't know at the time because I didn't know the how to see them. And then I created the message and then I posted. And then 10 minutes later, like three amazing artists that I look up to, they came in like, ah, maybe the normals are inverted, or
Wow.
maybe the UVs are messed up. And I was like, how do I know if my UVs are messed up? And then you kind of start chatting with them and
Yeah.
exchanging messages, and you start working on the problem. Like I shared, oh, this is my UV, and I'm like, no, your UV is correct. Check your normals. I'm like, how do I check my normals? Oh, you use this button. So it's hard the first time, but then you feel like you're talking to a friend or a colleague.
Yeah, I mean, mostly, I guess, because in order to be in the industry, you really need to be able to work with other people, right? You need to be an amazing person to work with, regardless of your skills. That's, I think, like, soft skills are huge in a team. Are you a team player? Are you just on your own? Are you gonna just, like, be unfriendly with with everybody on the team? It's really, really, really important to get those soft skills. And like you said early on, while you're learning, since you're learning, go on those Discord servers. And I think one Discord server we did not mention is the real-time BFX Discord server, which is a website. I give that website to any person who are just starting their journey on the on with the real-time VFX, because it just has so much information. Like, when I'm Googling, I don't type Reddit anymore. I just type real-time VFX, because that website had it all. It has everything inside. I wanted to touch on, like, learning content with you. Obviously, real-time visual effects is still under the radar a little bit. A lot of people don't know about it or don't know much about it. And learning content does not come as easy as any other skills, like 3D modeling or whatever. So how did you encounter learning the skill?
Well, I first enrolled in VFX Apprentice because I had no background at all, and the course was amazing in that sense because it had the foundations. And as you learn, you're like, oh, so I need to learn a bit about how to model in 3D so I can create meshes for my VFX. So you learn that, so you go after this kind of knowledge, and you're like, oh, but my textures, they need to be prettier. So you start learning how to draw, and you go after an illustration course. And oh, but I want to create noises that are tileable. So you go after a substance designer course as well. It's like, I believe that it's a bit generalist, the VFX career, because you have to know a little bit about a lot so you can actually do things. So I believe that in this sense, the VFX Apprentice was amazing for me at the beginning because I had nothing. And then it was like the light at the end of the tunnel. Like, this is the path. you have to learn this, this, and this.
Wow. I also recommend VFX Apprentice to anybody who's just starting out, who don't even know anything about the basics. Because it's just that good when you're starting out with visual effects, especially real-time visual effects. I also recommend Gabriel Aguirre, because he also covers most of the things for free on YouTube. And if you just want to dive in with real-time VFX, like just follow those YouTube tutorials. A lot of cool content creators out there, I think. And it also depends on which engine you're experimenting with. Like, is it Unreal or Unity? I feel personally Unreal has way more content than Unity, for example. So I chose the Unity route for the beginning, because I was like, if I like to limit my options, of tutorials, or whenever it comes to me limiting my options, I like to take that route for the beginning, because I can always expand and go and learn Unreal, for example. Although I started doing a little bit of effects in Unreal before I started with Unity. So I still have, it's like you said, a little bit about a lot, like a generalist, basically. Yes. And visual effects is the perfect generalist who's interested in animation type of skill. That's exactly me. If you've described me, you're like, I like to do a lot of things, but I also like to animate. But I don't want to animate 2D stuff. I want to animate like magic animate.
Yeah, so VFX would be like the perfect place for you, because you need to know about animation. You need to know about drawing. You need to know a little bit about 3D. And you need to know about the engine as well.
Yeah.
And regardless if it's Unity, Unreal, or Godot, whatever, you have to understand how to do it, maybe sometimes even Spine. So there's a lot of things that you need to know.
Yeah,
but
and the beauty of it is that you can always expand your knowledge in game development to, because we all have to implement our effects somehow in the game. And if you could do that from scratch, you're even a bigger asset to the team, because they're like, oh, amazing, cool, do your hooks. Put the hooks with these hooks, and then the muzzle will flash, the trail will go from point A to point B, and then it will hit, and then another effect will be spawned. So I feel like even the potential of where the skill can go, real-time VFX, for me, is like, it can go towards game development. That's somewhere I really would love to be one day, like, to make games.
That's totally true. Like, if you are resourceful and you can do a lot, even though it's not exactly like animation or it's not creating the VFX, but actually making it work in your environment, that would be like so cool of you. And people would appreciate everybody else on the team.
Because like you know exactly how the effect, how you want the effect to look like, right? You out of anybody else. And so if you can make those hooks work for you, and the game will benefit. The team will benefit, because you don't need the programmers anymore to make those hooks for you, right? You don't need them to think about them or to support you going forward. You know how to do them. You know how to create them. And so you can always expand. You can always expand your knowledge with real-time VFX, I feel like. You can always expand to 2D frame by frame, or 3D frame by frame, which is something I'm doing right now with a project. It's amazing. It's like, wow, I could do that. And it's like, yes, you can. There's a workflow. I'm very excited to share with the world with what I'm working on right now.
Soon,
I guess you too, right?
Yeah, I'm like really excited to see the game being launched, so I can say, hey everybody, I did this.
Yes.
Did this VFX when this happens, and it's just a part of it, but it's so much, you feel amazing, like, oh, I was part of a game.
Yeah, I mean, how do you feel? Like, I don't know, in which phase is the game right now? Is it like in its final stages, or are you still creating effects?
Yeah, it's in the final stages.
Polishing.
We already kind of like final steps, but a little bit towards the middle. Like
Yeah.
we're polishing some things, but also creating some VFX also, because there are so much content.
Cool.
And but we already had like a alpha
Okay.
launched
That's awesome.
and tested, and then now we are working on the feedback, and then probably later, second semester, it's gonna be officially launched, I hope.
Wow. Okay, so but semester, what do you mean by semester exactly? What is a semester?
August next semester would be starting in July, I believe.
Season, you mean?
Oh yeah.
S
Okay.
a semester.
In Portuguese, sometimes you like.
No, no worries. Semester, I think, is used in college and university a lot. Semesters, right?
Okay.
Yeah, it's
I'm not sure. In Brazil, there's just one word,
it's what is it?
and we use for everything. It's
Oh,
semestre.
it's okay. So it is a Brazilian thing. Okay, got it.
Okay. It's
That's
good to
cool.
know.
That's awesome. My languages are a hell of a thing, that's for sure. Yeah. So you kind of are in this phase where you're covering the main content, I guess, and you're making sure most of the important effects are in the game and they're playable, right?
Yes.
And yet there's still
And
some to create, which kind of work the
yes.
same way, but different colors, different timings, right?
Yeah, it's we're like trying to be creative about the VFX because, for example, each character has a skill and unique skill, and sometimes you can't reuse something that you
Yes.
already have, but you're
Yeah.
like, oh, I think I can use this flash from this effect and rework for this one. So you can like grab pieces of earlier VFX and create a new one from like a Frankenstein. And it's
Yeah. Most of the effects are, honestly. Yeah. Yeah, most of the effects I'm working on right now are just duplicates of so like when we started the development, I made sure that I reuse as much as possible because back then, the timeline was tight. So I made sure that I do like put as many effects as possible in one. I called it like a family of systems. So I made like five families, and just like the animal kingdom, there's like family of animals, and it's like yeah, there's a trail. If that's These are the trail effects, right? Those are the explosion effects. Those are this what is it called? Like stat effect or whatever. And yeah, I was just continuously making sure that the concept and the final result were basically from the same system, or eventually from the same system. Yeah.
You kind of created a shortcut for yourself. Like,
Yeah.
if I want to explode some particles, I have this particle explosion,
Yeah.
and then I'm gonna create a copy for that from that and do another one.
Yeah.
So it's like you save some time
A
when you
lot of
do
time.
that. Like you create some models, and
Yeah.
I think that's a smart way of working.
Yeah, you could also, what I notice is, yes, you could switch the textures. You could switch the models, right? That can only get you so far. You can add the parameters that you wanna play with outside of the effects. That meaning, if you have an explosion effect that can only go for upwards with the velocity, you can take that vector and make it a parameter, and now you can make another effect that is more directional. So the smoke, something hits here. Like if this is the ground, something hits here, smoke goes there, but it's the same effect. And yet, so that's just one parameter. You can have the parameter for the color or for the gradient. You also have another parameter for the lifetime. So it completely looks different. Another parameter to switch the mesh. Another parameter to, what else is there? Like, it's endless results, basically. But the point is, it's one visual effect. We call it graph in Unity because I use visual effect graph. It's just one visual effect graph file, but from it you can make like 10 different effects.
Yes.
Speed up
Yeah,
the workflow.
it's so cool. Like you get a lot faster as you go. You have like, I have these things that are ready and I can use them as a model and then start something totally new. And I believe that you should do that also for your portfolio, for example. Don't throw away anything that you've done. Try to recycle things like, oh, I have an explosion, but I didn't like how it looked. So in the next VFX, I'm going to try to reuse something and polish. So it's like every day you improve a little bit on what you already have.
That's amazing. Such a good advice. Like, now I'm thinking when I'm putting this project on my portfolio is to mention exactly what you mentioned right now. Like, put how you made those shortcuts in the beginning of the project, and where did that thought process led you, and how you were able to create shaders and effects in the way of like concepting something, because there's many ways of making concept art for visual effects. The most common ways to do it with Photoshop, digital painting with Krita or whatever it is. But there are also ways, if you're experienced enough, just go in the engine, make the effect approximately like how you think it's gonna work. And that is a concept art that is useful. It's not only a concept art that you could look at, but it's also a concept art that you could expand on. You can make a parameters out of, like for the artist for the job that I just landed a year ago. I created that system, but I didn't create any parameters, and I got the job, and I was able to already like be on board and create like the other effects that were in the same family because I already had that created. So yeah, concepting can go in many other ways other than just 2D, I feel. So a lot of people, or how it's taught is like you get your hands dirty with digital painting. It's like, yeah, sure, but there are also other ways.
I believe that this initial stage, when you start planning and you start creating assets, it's what's more demanding. And when you have all that, all those assets, all these resources, and you can actually start creating, you should spend a good amount of time in this first initial stages because your work is gonna flow a lot faster
Yeah.
afterwards.
I 100% agree. And because of that, even if it's your first project, your second project is going to be even easier. And your third project that you're going to work on is going to be even easier. There's a difference between like making your own portfolio project and working in the industry. Here's where everything goes by way faster, like learning wise. Do you have a lead above you? Do you have someone that like another visual effects artist in the team?
And I also, it's so, we have like a close, we always talk like in direct messages from Slack and like, oh, help me, something broke and I have no idea. And sometimes it's like, oh, yeah, it's a bug. So don't worry, save, restart. And it's so cool that you have somebody that you can ask questions like, what do I do? I tried anything, 17 ways, different ways, and it's not working. And it's like, it's because it's a bug and you never thought about it. You were like, I was doing something wrong. So it's nice like to have other VFX in your team also.
How many I mean, maybe you're not allowed to say, but like I could talk a little bit about my experience so far is that I am the sole VFX artist on the team. And so when you're telling me those things, I'm like, I can't wait until I work on a project where like there's also other visual effects artists where I could like learn on the job, improve on the job and things like that. Yeah, it's exciting times for real time VFX, I feel. Like 2025, I feel like it's the year for real time VFX, and it's growing bigger and bigger and bigger. I would wish for like an event just for real-time VFX soon in the industry.
That would be so cool.
That would be so cool. Just everybody meeting each other and just like having talks of like how each individual person, work on their workflow and get to share that with the others. Because like so far it's been the best people I've met, like not only skill wise but also like personality wise, where visual effects artists, like real time visual effect artists, because like it feels like how to say, a camaraderie almost, like an adventure, like we're all going together. We kind of like speak our own lingo.
It's so fun. Like, I didn't expect to everybody to be so receptive, like so helpful, but it's an awesome surprise. Like, everybody that I had reach out for help, they were always like, "Oh, I can help you with this," or "This is a video. You have to watch this." Nobody is like mad at you for learning, or nobody's in a bad mood.
True.
It's so incredible. Everybody's always on a good mood. Everybody's always working and awake
But
and
like,
producing a lot.
we're also super diverse, right? Like we have visual effects that, like, you used to be a publisher. What? We have visual effects artists that used to be 3D generalists or 2D generalists or animators, or what else is there? Like the music sometimes, right? Because like visual effects are like music for the eyes, basically. Like on the team where I'm working, I teamed up with with the sound effect guys, because I kind of work best if I could hear the effect, which is something, it's very interesting, right? Like, let me hear the effect first, and I'll figure out how the visual effect looks like. That's how I function best. Like when there's like a radiation effect, I kind of want it to sound like this device that shows radiation. You know, that device will go. And I want that to be visual in a way, you know? It's so interesting.
It's like you're not working alone, and so it makes total sense. Like, this is the environment, this is gonna be the sound, so the VFX is just gonna come and make an addition to that. Like, oh, this is the story that we want to tell, and the VFX is gonna help tell the story that it's being told by sound, by environment, by gameplay. So it's, I believe that you should work with a lot of everybody that's involved in the game, actually.
It's so awesome. There's also like the aspect that it enhances not only storytelling, like you've been saying so far, but also the gameplay. Like when things go that far that what you're doing is affecting the game feel. I'm like, amazing. I have purpose in life. I love this stuff.
It's like your VFX kind of like, this is the right spot. It's like it worked perfectly with the scene. And yeah, chef's kiss.
Yes. All right, listen, Anna, it was great having you on. Let's have you on again. And is there anything you would like to tell people?
Well, first of all, I would like to thank you for inviting me. It was an amazing surprise, and it was a really good experience. This is actually my first podcast. I hope I did okay.
You did perfectly.
And awesome. And for people that are starting, I know that it's scary, but if you really want to do it, I think you should go for it. It's hard, but it's not impossible. So give your best shot, and that's hopefully it pays out really quickly.
Put yourself out there and imagine a boss above you that tells you this has to be done next week, every week. And this is how you get
Yeah.
better.
And have a notebook with your steps, what you should do, like plan yourself. It's, I believe that's the best advice I could give, like from my previous experience. You should organize yourself, 'cause you'll never get lost.
I love that. I love that. And most of the work that we do is basically time management. If you really, really want to like think about it, creating good habits really early on is the secret to learning anything.
Yes.
All right, Anna. Great having you on. I'll say goodbye to everybody. and see you in the next episode. Bye.